Welcome to the Trade Show Podcast, the home for conversations with global leaders in the trade show and events business. Our show will bring you face to face with experts who speak about the possibilities and trajectories of this $50 billion industry. I'm your host, Shubhanjan Sarkar, founder of PitchLink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make conversion easy. Welcome to this episode of the Trade Show Podcast. Thank you for listening and your continued feedback. If you have suggestions or you want me to dig in with a specific guest, please write to me at shubhanjan@pitch.link or message me on LinkedIn. Both links available in the show notes. Meet my friend Enrico Gallorini, co-founder and CEO of GRS Research and Strategy, a cutting-edge boutique multinational research firm headquartered in Venice, Italy. Enrico and GRS recently hosted the Human to Human Summit at Dubai, taking ahead his ideas about in-person and creating a focused discourse.
And in 2025, something that for me was important to notice is that some events, some trade shows, exhibition are creating specific new packages with a price that sometimes it's also, wow, very high-end price, very high-level price for some experience that are different from the other one.
Enrico has dedicated his life to decoding the profound impact that in-person experiences at large human gatherings have on individuals, society, and the world at large. His most significant finding is the unique quality that only live events have to inspire and drive human evolution. Through his research, he has uncovered remarkable and enduring patterns dating back to the very origins of humanity, insights that remain relevant today and will become even more vital in the future. Described as a forward thinker with a rare intellect and a distinguished expert in the events industry, Enrico is a strategic researcher specializing in visitor experiences and author of the book, In Person, A Journey Through the Unstoppable Evolution of Events. Check our episode 18, where Enrico goes in depth about this very book. He has captivated audiences across 20 countries, delivering keynote speeches at prestigious universities and international conferences, where he explores the transformative power of in-person events. Enrico brings an unique blend of business intelligence, creativity, positivity, and passion to the human-to-human industry. Now, on to this fascinating session with Enrico Gallorini. Enrico, welcome back on the Trade Show Podcast. I'm so happy that we could, you know, get you in. You're my first guest for 2026, so welcome.
I'm so proud to be here. Thank you very much for inviting me. And I feel the responsibility of being the first guest of 2026.
Absolutely, so. Absolutely. You know, I just want to dive in straight away. You and I spoke about your book In Person. We spoke thereafter about In Person. And obviously, one of the reasons why the event industry bounced back the way it did post-COVID is because it's in person.
Absolutely.
Right? In 2025, what did you notice in terms of the organizers and trade shows? What really is coming out in when you focus on in person as a lever?
Actually, there's not one thing that I've seen, but there is some trends that are part of long time trajectory that are coming. And in 2025, something that for me was important to notice is that some events, some trade shows, exhibition are creating specific new packages with a price that sometimes it's also, wow, very high-end price, very high-level price for some experience that are different from the other one. So this is quite obvious in many other in-person experiences, in many events, seems ever. So there is the gold circle or the platinum experience and everything. This is arriving also in the exhibition industry. And I think the reason it's really related to the fact that we don't have time. We are all under pressure. The world is running so fast. And if someone somehow dedicates some of his time, that is the most important resource that any human have, in person mainly, that is a full band experience, there's a lot of people that, maybe not a lot, there's many, many people, and they are increasing, that they want to use their time in the best way possible. And so if there is a ticket, a pricing experience, or a package that allowed you to have something more, like a VIP or maybe VVVIP, people start to choose those. Mm. Not only for the people that the organizer knows, or the invited, or the guest, or the, I don't know, the sponsor guest. No, there are people that just want to have a higher experience compared to the ordinary one. This is something that I see in 2025, and I think it's a trend that will increase a lot. So pricing discrimination, brand awareness is the other thing that is important, and working on the real clustering of your attendees, because inside of them, there are a lot of people that want to have a different experience.
So is it for you, suppose we talk about what that experience should be. I mean, I don't know if you remember, there was this famous interview with Brian Chesky of Airbnb many years back, where he spoke about, you know, internal, there is a process of what is a one-star experience and what is an 11-star experience, right? So like one star is that nobody comes, there is a, you're waiting for somebody to give you the keys, the punch pad thing doesn't work, and so on and so forth. And 11 star is you walk out of the aircraft and there is Elton John playing a concert for you, welcoming you to the place, right? So that's the kind of thing. So if you put on your in-person hat and experience hat, what do you think would be an experience worth paying for separately, maybe in many cases a very high amount, like you said? What should be that, what should be the nature of that experience?
So I think that there's not one exact experience that fit for all, right? Especially if we go in the in-person experiences as a full industry, so from concert to large events, festival, trade show, exhibition, theme parks, visitor attraction. Now, it's so different that my point is that it's important to understand much better who are your clients, why they come, and what they expect in terms of their value. So if we focus on the niche of trade shows and large exhibitions, I think the main driver is time. That's the B2B. It's really about time, but it's also coming the other element, because that person is always the same one that also go to other experience. It's not only time, it's meaningful time. The people attend trade shows for discovering something new, for sure, but also to belong to something bigger than himself, his company alone. So these things are coming together, and I think it should be part of a more curated overall journey inside of the live experience. So I am the guy that really, really, really believe on serendipity. But serendipity is not to leave the things just by chance. It's to prepare everything in order to make that special moment an important experience and connection. So I think going back from the 1 to 11 star, especially on B2B, the expectation is on managing time. This is very, very important. Connecting with the right people in the right way. seems crazy, but doing the activity that we do as a researcher and speaking with a lot of visitors, exhibitors, guests, attendees, and buyers, and so on, there are some easy elements that sometimes in trade show we forget. The people need to sit. The people need to rest, but not because they are tired, because the level of information that they are able to gather in their brain, it's so impactful that they need also to rebalance the experience. So recently, by the way, I was in an event and there was something that for me was super, super interesting. It was something like a place with silence, music, there was some gong on this lounge. It was a lounge for relax, so not meeting and everything. And I thought, who could go there apart me? Who's full? So it's not only me that I like these things. Yeah. The people need to have the time to settle down, to get a little grounded, then to restart again with the overall experience.
Right, right.
And I going back to the pricing, I'm pretty sure people would pay for those curated experience much more than what we think. And we have seen, we have seen and worked with many organizers that have significantly increased the value of some package, the DAP package, the super top tier package. And those are the one that goes sold first. Mm.
Yeah. I can totally see that how, and I think the point you made earlier when we were talking, that it is not for the VIPs who are already VIPs. It's like somebody who is nobody has the ability to pay and actually get that attention, because he's nobody today. He will not be a nobody tomorrow, but he will not get invited by somebody, but he or she should be able to pay and get that level of attention and value, like you mentioned.
Yeah, also because once you are able to understand better the dynamics behind this, you as an organizer, you will also discover some other clusters.
Correct.
Of people that you never had in your mind. All the market are changing very fast. So we still use the same vocabulary of years back for the buyers. But maybe there are new buyers that is not part of your database, your niche, your knowledge, and maybe they are so important that they are happy to pay the most advanced package. And you say, oh, wow, didn't know that these distributors are so interested in our niche. How do you discover? Because you discriminate them and give a possibility to have a super high price and they pay. You say, wow. And maybe it's not one, it's three, 20, 50. You say, oh, wow. So it's another way also to use data intelligence. But you have a real data, someone that pay, I don't know, 500 euros to have a better, much better experience, and it's not in your database. Maybe you have to study a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And not to mention that a great source of undiscovered leads to surface.
Absolutely.
If you have to sort of predict, not too far, 2026, what would you like to see when we again talk of in-person engagement and experiences? What would you like to see?
Something that I think it's very important, and it's not because it's my mantra, but it's the human to human, the human touch. Many times I really see, especially when you enter to a venue and there is the registration process that take time and everything, and you are in line and you don't even know if you are in the right place, for example. And maybe you see the people that are going around and you see that they are part of the organization, even if maybe they are the ushers and I don't know, but nobody watches you. You feel lost. This is a little example, no? That it happened to me actually a few days ago, a few weeks ago, and I didn't know if I was in the right line or not. And I tried to speak with someone, and they just didn't match my eyes. I said, guys, I'm a human. I feel lost. And I was not the only one. So those elements related to the really in-person connection to many layers sometimes are very also easy. Obviously, you need to explain to your team the importance. Because I always see, especially when we talk about registration, that it's not about the time that you wait, but this is the uncertainty that make you feel confused. But if that time it's used in the proper way, that make all the differences. You are in a line. I just give you one example, then we can, and I'm sorry if I'm speaking about this, that maybe it's not.
No, it's fine.
But in those moments, it's not difficult to use the time of the people. You have people that are waiting 20 minutes, right?
Yeah.
And maybe they are scrolling down their phone, the emails and everything. Those 20 minutes, it's very precious. They can prepare the experience that they will discover after. So giving them the possibility to know what is the program, how does it work, the event, if there is any special elements, some areas that you want the people to go and visit for many reasons, maybe because it's super cool or maybe because nobody cares. I don't know. But you have people in line. Wow, that's a huge resource.
Absolutely.
We have not to waste the time of the people. This is what I'm saying.
You know, Enrico, again, another thing I want to talk about. I was reading about how Disney tackled the long lines in front of the rides.
Yeah.
Because though it's a very similar situation. You're waiting for something, you have nothing to do. So Disney actually sent out jugglers and clowns and entertainers to entertain people who are in the queue. I'm not drawing a parallel, but exactly what you said, how do you make that 20 minutes count, right?
Okay, so I want to open quite a big chapter in this.
Yes.
We have to think that the same person that is in that line is the same brain, mind, body, soul of the person that attend in other lines. For example, for me, okay, Disney, maybe the people say, Disney, well, too much, we are not Disney. Okay, let's go on basic things. I don't know, Starbucks?
Yeah.
Okay, everybody goes to Starbucks, it's not, but the way that they make you waiting is not about time, is about emotions. So you know that they call you with your name.
Hmm.
Easy. Yeah. Fantastic. And the most of the time, not the most of the time, many times they don't even get your name.
Yeah.
Enrique. Hmm. Henry. It's okay. Yeah. But you are there also waiting for that moment.
Yeah.
That's changed all the perception. So again, going back to the point, queuing is not about time, it's about emotions. Emotion, how do you feel? Do you feel lost? Bad. Do you feel engaged? Cool. Going back to the theme parks experience, the queuing, it's part of the overall experience.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how many times I see in large trade shows that those places that is where the people enter, there's not a screen, there's nothing, there's no music, it's just chaos. Why?
Absolutely. And now that you say, and you see what we are doing an in-person event, which means we want to do human to human, but we are allowing them to scroll.
Yeah.
Even to check timings, even to check this, check that. We are sending, we are bringing in a lot of technology. I mean, I also use technology in my day job, as you know. I create stuff. But the point is, it all should lead to the in-person extraction of that in-person time, which is so precious, which is so rare.
Yeah, and just to make a very practical example that maybe it's part of the education also of the our industry and everything, the people in that line that are entering in a B2B event about, agriculture or food or mechanics and everything are all super professional. So the people that you have in front and the people that you have behind are part of your niche. You should speak with them.
Yeah.
They will be happy to speak with you. So I know that it's not part of the overall queuing experience to speak with the people in front. So when you are at Starbucks, maybe you just have nothing to say to the people in front. But if you go to a B2B specialized event, the people in front of you, it's for sure interesting.
Yeah.
So this is where probably all of us have to think about. Because those moments are precious. It's time and it's in person. So the people that choose to be there belong to the same needs.
Yeah.
See the newness, do business, be part of a community. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. It's time for a short break. Stay with us. After the break.
The most of the organizers have not really understood that exhibition, the content of the exhibition, is not the most important content of the event. We know the contents are the ones that are displayed inside of the booth. Full stop.
You are listening to a Bizcast Audio Original. Podcasting is one of the fastest growing content marketing avenues today. We can help you exploit this largely untapped marketing opportunity. We can craft your audio strategy and leverage the wide reach and easy streaming capability that smartphone penetration provides. It is powerful and personal. Talk to us to find out how podcasting can help you build your brand and reach out to target audiences. Welcome back. I'm Shubhanjan Sarkar, your host for the Trade Show podcast and founder of PitchLink, the visitor engagement platform. Let's dive right back into the episode. I see, like a lot of these discussions that I have, Enrico, is that we see when you're talking to exhibitors, because I do a lot of work with exhibitors, you see the same issues that are in the larger B2B sales, the same problems get brought into the exhibition venue, right? So what I'm trying to tell you is how wonderful it would be if a senior person is available or assigned to each queue, who can then go and have a conversation with all the people waiting there and talk and find out, okay, what is it that you're looking for? Why have you come? Can I add some value? These are the things which I'm thinking you could do, and so on and so forth. We don't even assign a newbie to go and talk to them while they're waiting.
No, that's the point. So having an executive maybe is too much, honestly. I also not encourage to do this because in an event, it's a very compressing time. Every minute, it's so important. And just to be very honest, the registration side, nobody cares. It's just the entrance. The value is inside. So the example about entering is important, but it's not where the value is created. There's many other places where the value should be created, for example, also inside. And this is where I really think our industry should elevate the interactions.
Yeah. What else comes to your mind apart from, I mean, this is one thing we spoke for a bit, I guess.
For example, something that for me it's crazy is that what we are seeing in terms of real numbers is the super drop down in terms of satisfaction and interest in conferences inside of exhibitions. This is a nightmare. And I think this is a big problem because the most of the organizers have not really understood that exhibition, the content of the exhibition, is not the most important content of the event. We know the contents are the ones that are displayed inside of the booth. Full stop. The people come there to see the booth with the newness, the new things and everything. But those conferences are a moment where the people also sit and try to understand and have a deeper understanding. And the most of the time, they are managed, for me, in the very wrong way. Organizer invests so much on AV, a large screen, a fantastical stage, a super cool water bottle and everything. And then if you ask them, and I ask them many times, how much is the budget for conference? Ah, we have 100,000 euros. Okay. Oh, wow. And where did you spend this money? Ah, you see, we have the biggest screen, the newest technology, the cool and everything. I say, oh, cool. And how much do you spend on speakers? Ah, no, we don't have budget. What? No, we don't have budget. So it's crazy. So our industry that is really operational, I understand, has increased so much the not value added experience than the real value added. So what I see the most of the time that I start really to hate are those panels inside of large exhibition where you have a very good presenter that try to engage four CEOs that usually are big sponsors or big exhibitors in that niche, that they are seated there and they are just doing an ego exercise. They are not prepared because they don't need to be prepared. They are the CEO of a large company and everything. And you really feel also the completely inability to manage a stage. That is a disaster. And this is reflecting a lot in the feedback that we as a research company we see. The people are using the conference room to sit. So it's crazy what is happening. So those value added is not part of the experience. And just to be honest, what for me is even more crazier is that speaking with the organizer, we're making a lot of money in the conference side because we have sponsor, and to sponsor a conference, you pay and you put on stage your CEO that is not able to speak in front of an audience. It's a disaster. And this will happen sooner or later. That will be a huge problem in our industry because I always say that we cannot waste the time of the people. And having hundreds of people sitting there, listening to the ego of someone that is not even prepared to be on stage, it's really a waste of time.
Yeah.
So also there, I think it should be important to take, I don't know, 20%, 10% of the budget that you spend on the operational elements, the lights, the things. By the way, when sometimes it happens that I am on stage and they invite me to speak and share my thoughts. And I always go to the before, to the AV people and say, can you show me what you can do with the lights? And I say, oh, wow. We can do a lot of things. Look, pam, pam, pam. Incredible possible movement. And it's fantastic. And the companies, the organizer, pay to have those lights during the events. Nothing. The people enter to the stage, light off, done. So these are the things that I don't understand. So for me, creating is not only the human to human element, is understanding the human needs and how to elevate experiences like the conferences that for me today, it's not for me, actually, it's not really for me. It's for the attendees are becoming nothing so special. Obviously, apart from the opening and apart from the keynote speakers, but all the other, and in an exhibition there are a lot, seems to become a waste of time, but maybe a good place where you can rest.
Okay. So two quick questions to wrap this up. One is that, what do you think exhibitors should be doing more to actually deliver the value to the in-person experience, that opportunity that is being provided? What can they do in 2026?
This is a very fundamental question, and this is also connect a lot of dots. So exhibitors are the real product of the in-person experience in an exhibition, right? So they pay, but they are the product that the organizers sell to the visitors. So the organizer is a platform that connects these two elements. The point is that exhibitors has mainly four big costs that they have to invest to deliver a great experience. So the space that they rent from the organizer, the booth that they built with the contractor and so on, all the logistic, the staff, and everything related to the people that will attend from their point of view at the event, and the contents. In the past, the most of the exhibitors spend the most of their time, their money, and their thoughts to arrive to an exhibition with the right contents. The new product, the old product reshaped in a way that is new. So that curation used to be the reason why they invest those monies. The point is that those other three are becoming so predominant that from a financial point of view, there is too much attention on how to optimize those elements. But those elements are fundamental, but are not the reason why they attend to an exhibition. So concentrate more on the what you want to present. The contents are really so important. And the content is not only what, is how. And for me, I see increasing a lot the importance of having not salespeople in the booth. Guys, no, no. Salespeople can connect after in a Zoom call, 30 minutes, done. You need to have there the right people that speak the language of the users. Technical people, managerial people, people that know the industry, that know the machine, that know the software, not that sell that software. The selling part, it's important, it's fundamental, but probably it's not the value that you can have in an exhibition. An exhibition is where the people, if someone comes to your booth to understand, they know they can buy, right? But they want to understand more why is that product working that way, why is different from the competitor. And this is much more related on how to use that is not something that the salespeople usually know.
Right, right.
So less salespeople, more technical people, more C-level people that can really interact with the right audience.
Yeah. Yeah, who understand the industry, who can talk, like you said, who speaks the user's language,
yeah.
Not who is trying to get, figure out their band.
Again, this is not my point of view. This is also the point of view of the visitors and the buyers. Yeah. They know. They are bombarded by salespeople that they pitch so many times. And now it's easy with Zoom and the other things. They present the product everywhere. So it's no more about that. It's about, okay, so let's go inside. I have a problem with my factory that is in this heat zone of the world. Is this machine able to work properly in this environment? Wow. You need a technician that speaks with you. This is where I see the element that have probably
to
go deeper on this.
And last question is that how do you see, I mean, we are talking about the Gen Z coming into the industry, coming into as buyers, coming into events. Do you see from your research and from what you have seen and read and spoken, do you see any distinctive difference in their approach to in-person events and shows?
For sure. And yes, and for them, they are much more important than for previous generation because it's rare. it's the moment where they can really be part of something bigger that maybe for our generation was, for example, going to the office and share with the other people and everything. Now, most of the new generation just go to the office if we're lucky, a few days per week. But in their mind, even if they go to the office, they are in their zone in front of the computer and everything. So the interaction, the socialization is sadly, it's not part of the way that they work. So those moments, it's the place where they can really open themselves because they are asked to do that. So yes, I see much more enthusiasm and sometimes also over-enthusiasm because then the experience is not so incredible. But can be that engaging them, creating spaces where these people can connect, also young to young people, that is something that is important to drive. But have to be driven by the organizer. That's the point.
Yeah,
they are not so able to create those waves of connection.
Absolutely. In fact, the episode of that is going to come out this month is one interview with Dr. Corey Simler, and she has been doing research on Gen Z, and she pretty much said the same things, that they are not used to socializing because they are so that sort of digital natives who are very comfortable spending time, you know, texting each other. But they do come to these events with expectations, and you have to create as organizers spaces where they can actually meet with people. So giving them more technology there is not really helpful, but giving them opportunity to engage is what is helpful.
Exactly. Exactly. Totally agree.
PitchLink makes buying easy by enabling high-quality engagement between buyers and sellers. Through its presentation and discussion modules, sellers create customized sales narratives using sales collaterals and personal videos and reach out to prospects through a non-intrusive, buyer-qualified engagement process. PitchLink requires no installation or download, contains and manages the entire repository of sales collaterals and buyer-seller conversations. Talk to us to know more about how you can engage with customers without interruption. Connect with us on LinkedIn or visit tradeshowengage.com. That is tradeshowengage.com.
Enrico, before we wrap up, tell us about the event that you are hosting on 15th, Human to Human. Talk about what made you do it, what are you planning, what people are expecting to accomplish on that day.
So this event is called Human to Human. It's very the basic of what we do as a research company, try to drive the human experience and understand the human experience. So many years ago, we start to put together in some breakfast or some little meaningful meeting where we present our data and everything, different part of the in-person experience. So not only exhibitions with exhibitions, for example, not only festival with festival. We try to put together in the same room people coming from different in-person live experiences, like, again, concert, festival, theme parks, visitor attractions, events, large exhibition, trade shows. And we've seen that there's a lot to learn one to the other. For example, we already discussed about queuing, but also many other elements of interaction or the way that we can do, again, pricing. We discussed about that. Concerts are so much advanced compared to trade show, for example, or the sense of belonging. Theme parks work mainly on sense of belonging. So all of this create a sort of a new layer that obviously in the past, because there was only in-person experiences, the silos were very clear. And you see, for example, also make a lot of sense, the association's point of view. You have exhibition association, concert association, festival association, theme parks association, it makes a lot of sense. Today, I feel that there is a different layer that is not association layer. It's much more experience level that is on top of all of this. We are all human. We do these life experiences and we can learn from each other a lot.
Right, right. And I wish you all the best, and I hope to catch up with you soon and talk about what happened there and how the audience reacted, because you are opening it up to a larger audience this time.
Yes, we expect large. We're talking about nothing, maybe 150, 200 B2B players in this niche. So right. Yes, we try to do something that is different, and we will see if it works or not. Last year was the first edition. We had 120 people, was good. And this year, again, it's a larger gathering than just a lunch as we did in the past. But it's having his momentum. A lot of people, it's seeing that behind of this could be a lot of value.
Right. Enrico, thank you so much for joining me today. And again, thank you for being my first guest of the year. And we had a great conversation. I hope you enjoyed it as much as I did.
A lot. Thank you very much. And I hope to have others also in the future. Have a good day.
Thank you. We have a fantastic lineup over the next couple of episodes featuring great conversations on engaging your booth visitors and maximizing your ROI from your trade show investments. Subscribe in your favorite podcast app so you do not miss a single episode. Thanks for listening. Thank you for being with us today on the Trade Show Podcast, the podcast of record for the trade show and events industry. Here we talk to movers and shakers of the $50 billion trade show industry and identify ideas, challenges, tactics, and strategies to leverage the first-party intent inherent in the trade show business. We hope this conversation helped inform and motivate as we all navigate a rapidly changing business environment. For us, these are enlightening conversations enriched with knowledge and expertise. We encourage you to go out and implement some of the ideas we discussed today. We hope to have you with us again in the next exciting episode of the Trade Show Podcast. If you liked what you heard, subscribe to the show in your favorite podcast platform like iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever else you get your podcast from, and give us a rating while you are at it. This is a Bizcast original podcast and is produced for Pitchlink, the next generation visitor engagement platform, where our mission is to make buying easy. Hosted by Shubhanjan Sarkar and produced by Rajiv Aditya. See you next time and have a wonderful day.